The late night hosts watched the Tyson fight the other night. At least their writers did. Trevor Noah said they're still in their 50s, so it was kind of like watching a fight scene from The Irishman, except with double the amount of black people from The Irishman. Kimmel said, "Who is this person disguised as Mike Tyson? What happened to the guy who said he would eat your children and bit off two human ears? I guess marijuana really works." Even half-baked, Tyson looked pretty good. Roy Jones was hanging on to him for dear life. It was less of a fight. It was more like two old friends who haven't seen each other in a long time and just got the vaccine. Trevor said, "Now, I know some people didn't think this fight was worth the $50 they paid on pay-per-view, but right now, people, this is the only place you can see two middle-aged men fighting. I mean, now that COVID has canceled all the Little League games, where else are you going to get that action, baby?" Little League dads yelling at umpires and soccer dads yelling at refs are the worst, by the way. So in the past, I've been accused of doing too much Trump material. Hey, I'm just reading the late night host jokes. They finally got around to Biden stuff, and I'm looking at this first set here, and I'm wondering, hey, maybe the Biden presidency is not going to be nearly as funny. President-elect Joe Biden fractured his foot over the weekend. Let's see what that did for comedy. Kimmel said, so in a way, Trump and Biden both got the boot this month. Trevor Noah said, someone check who that dog voted for. Kimmel, he suffered hairline fractures in his right foot. Even the eventful things that happened to Joe Biden are uneventful. Fallon said Biden was like, it's no big deal. I've been dealing with a fractured hairline for years. I hope Jimmy Fallon's not regressing. You guys have been crushing it. That joke's bad. Kimmel, apparently he slipped and fell while playing with Major his dog. The Pentagon today announced that Major has been demoted to captain. That's a hack joke. Trevor, and why does Biden need a walking boot? He shouldn't be walking. He should be riding a golf cart everywhere. It's called being presidential. Well done, Fallon. I feel bad for Biden. Nobody wants to start a new job in a walking boot. It's hard to act tough with China when you have to leave a press conference on one of those knee scooters. Kimmel, speaking of Donald Trump, Lotus weighed in on Biden's injury. On Twitter, he wrote, "Get well soon. He's just jealous because Biden has a dog and all he has is Mike Pence." Kimmel, can you imagine Trump having a dog? I can't picture him feeding anyone but himself. The closest Trump gets to that is when he feeds Giuliani a bucket of frozen mice. And Fallon said when the news broke, Kamala Harris was stretching in the bullpen like, "I guess I'm getting in the game sooner than I thought." That last one's okay, but I don't know. We'll see how funny Biden is or not. There's something called Star Wars Detour, and an episode leaked online. Let me tell you about this. From CBR.com, before George Lucas sold Lucasfilm to Disney, he was creating an animated oddball comedy series set between the events of Return of the Sith and A New Hope. It was kind of robot chicken-y. I saw this. I was at a Star Wars convention called Star Wars Celebration. I saw one of these. I don't know if I saw a full episode. I definitely saw extended clips. This exists. 39 full episodes exist, plus 62 completed scripts, but none were ever released, and they're still not on Disney+. The episode that leaked online is called Dog Day Afternoon. It features the voice acting of Weird Al and Andy Richter as droids Forlom and Zuckus. If you're a new listener, I don't talk about Star Wars every day. Relax. Two wannabe bounty hunters, they're not robots, who hold the staff and customers of Dex's Diner hostage to impress the Bounty Hunters Guild. The tone of the show is goofy and slapstick, but its jokes are skewered towards a more adult audience with clumsy Jar Jar Binks gags interspersed with jokes about Boba Fett's one-night stands. Some of the people who did voices for this series are Anthony Daniels, Ahmad Best, he played Jar Jar in the originals, Billy Dee Williams, you know him as Lando, comedians Weird Al, Joel McHale, and Seth MacFarlane. I also know Donald Faison did a lot of voices for this thing. Like I said, I've seen it. There are a few clips on YouTube. See if this comes out. Spotify put out a big press announcement going, hey, the number one podcast on Spotify is Joe Rogan. They did that coincidentally, the day that Joe Rogan came off all the other podcast apps. If you were to go to, say, Apple Podcasts right now and type in Joe Rogan Experience, there is one episode there. The rest of them are down. If you want to listen to Rogan, you will have to listen on Spotify. You can also listen to this podcast on Spotify and push the follow button. If you're a video gamer, and yeah, the news is a little slow today, I'm being honest, and you're wondering why Joe Rogan isn't part of UFC 4, the creative director with Electronic Arts, they make the video games, reminds us that beginning with UFC 3, they were forced to splice together existing clips after Joe Rogan balked at recording new dialogue. Creative director Brian Hayes told GameSpot, Rogan hasn't been shy about saying this on his own podcast. Like, he hates doing it. If you're not a person that can mentally get into the space, I could see how it could be very, you know, challenging, potentially mind-numbing experience for a certain type of individual. He was open with us from the very beginning that he hated his experience of doing voiceover on previous iterations of other UFC games. And things were no different for us. He hated doing voiceover on these games as well. That has nothing to do with us in particular, or, you know, our games versus other games. Just doesn't like sitting in a booth reading lines for hours at a time. So if you have the UFC 4 video game, no Joe Rogan. I mentioned Weird Al earlier. There is a nice little interview with him in Rolling Stone. They asked him, hey, Al, what's your favorite TV show to stream during quarantine? He said, Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun, by far the best surrealistic Australian sketch comedy series currently available on Netflix. He is right. That show is wonderful. They didn't spotlight it on Netflix for very long, and I fear it's now buried. It is hilarious. You can get through it in one night. I think it's 6 episodes, maybe 8. I think it's 6, 30 minutes. Tons of fun. It is called Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun. I've mentioned before, when I make my best of 2020 list, that's going to finish number 2. Ted Lasso is going to finish number 1. Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun on Netflix, endorsed by me, Johnny Mac, and Weird Al Yankovic. They also asked Al the best book he read in quarantine, and he said it's a tie between 3 books. Book number 1, The Weird Accordion to Al by Nathan Rabin. Number 2, Weird Al Seriously by Lily Hirsch. And I interviewed Lily Hirsch a few weeks, maybe a couple months back. But if you go down the feed, you'll see an episode titled Weird Al Seriously. And you can hear me talk to Lily Hirsch about Weird Al for about 15 minutes. And the third book Al recommends, Black and White and Weird All Over by John Bermuda Schwartz. Al says, I don't know how to describe it, but I just felt a real personal connection with all of them. From Vulture, 7 months after the Upright Citizens Brigade announced the closure of its New York Theater and Training Center, some UCB alums have banded together to create a new sketch comedy and improv theater of their own. It is called the Squirrel Comedy Theater in New York City. It is nonprofit. Per their mission statement, they say their goal is to become New York's premier destination for sketch and improv comedy, with world-class live shows and classes from a diverse group of the city's best and brightest performers and writers. The Squirrel, while inspired by the training that the UCB offered, will take on a new structural and organizational approach more in line with the wants and needs of the greater comedy community. That sounds cool. Best of luck to those guys. Decider caught up with Colin Quinn. They said, one of the things you mentioned in the HBO Max special is suggesting that young comics move south for the winter, like baseball does, you know, because outdoor shows and COVID and all that. And I think that's pretty interesting by Colin. And Colin answered, he said, it's going to end up going that way unless they come out with a vaccine, of course. But I mean, right now, if COVID could be here for 30 years, it would be logical that people would stay outdoors. The more you can perform, the better you would become. Anybody would have to move down south to perform year round. Colin talked about the current state of comedy in New York City and said, I mean, everyone's doing these little shows like speakeasies. It's like, you know, 1920 when Prohibition first started. We hear about a show on a roof, or you hear about a show in an alley, but it's the state of comedy. I mean, no one's making any money at comedy. No one's making a dime. It's good and it's bad. It's going to decide who stays in it and who really loves it for the art, I guess. But New York is so weird right now and so not dystopian, but close to it. And certain times of day, you're like, you go to Times Square, there's no one there. It's still light out. It's crazy. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, it's bad. I mean, it's bad for everybody, but for comedy, yeah, like I said, I don't know how they're going to do comedy. Zoom shows, they don't have the same effect, you know? Has Colin done a Zoom show? He said, I did like a couple, like a favor show for some friend of mine who had his office people. So I did one of them and it was like hearing laughing. It sounds like pigeons under a building, you know, right off the roof of a building. You don't hear laughs, but yeah, it's kind of weird. And from The Hollywood Reporter, Felicity Huffman will be the lead in a sitcom which will follow Huffman's, quote, unlikely owner character. She owns a baseball team, yay! Who suddenly has to manage the team after her husband's unexpected death. Quote, she's forced to navigate her new normal with the help of her dysfunctional family, including her oldest son, a baseball devotee with Down syndrome, her work family, and the Sacramento community at large. Does that sound good? That doesn't sound good, right? That sounds bad. That sounds like bad. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows. Catch you tomorrow.